the tale of Einstein's lion. Whether we talk about the cosmic space between distant stars and galaxies or the microspace between the bands of energy that form the atom, from textbooks to telescopes, we typically think of space between things as being empty. And when we say that something is empty, we typically mean that nothing, absolutely nothing at all, exists in that space. Well, without doubt, to the untrained eye, what we call space certainly looks empty to us. But how empty can it really be? When we really think about it, what would it mean to live in a world where the space between things was truly void of anything? First, we know that to find such a place in nature is probably impossible for one reason. As the saying goes, nature abhors the emptiness of a vacuum. If we could somehow magically transport ourselves to such a place, however, what would it look like? Well, to begin with, it would be a very dark place. While we could turn on a flashlight, for example, the light from that flashlight could not travel anywhere because there would be nothing for the light waves to travel through. It would be as if we'd thrown a stone into the pond with no water and were looking for ripples on the surface from the impact. The stone would hit the bottom, whether or not the water was there. But there would be no waves, as the waves that would normally radiate from the impact would have no medium to travel through. Well, it's for precisely the same reason our hypothetical world would also be very quiet. Sound must travel through some kind of medium to perpetuate itself. In fact, almost any kind of energy as we know it today, from the motion of wind to the heat of the sun, could not exist because the electrical fields and the magnetic fields and the radiant fields and even the fields of gravity would not have the same meaning in a world where the space was truly empty. Fortunately, we don't have to speculate about what such a world would be like, because the space that surrounds us is anything but empty. Regardless of what we call it or how science and religion define it, it's clear that there is a force. It's a field. It's a presence that is what's called the great net that connects everything in creation and links us to a higher power of a greater world. Early in the 20th century, Albert Einstein made reference to the mysterious force that he was certain exists in what we see as the universe around us. Nature shows us only the tail of the lion, he said, suggesting that there's something more to what we see as reality, even if we can't see it from our cosmic vantage point. Through a beauty and eloquence that's typical of Einstein's view of the universe, he elaborated on this analogy of the cosmos. He said, "I don't doubt that the lion belongs to that tail, even though he cannot at once reveal himself because of his enormous size." In later writings, Einstein went on to say that regardless of who we are or what our role in the universe might be, we're all subject to a greater power. Human beings, he said, vegetables or cosmic dust, we all dance to what he called a mysterious tune intoned in the distance by an invisible piper. It's with this declaration of an intelligence underlying creation. Planck earlier described the energy of Einstein's lion and shook the traditional foundation of the entire discipline of physics. In doing so, he ignited a flame of controversy that continues to burn hotter than ever today. In the fire of that flame, the old ideas of what our world is made of and the reality of the universe, for that matter, have flown right out the door. Over 90 years ago, the father of quantum theory told us that everything is connected through this very real, very unconventional form of energy. Connected at the source, quantum entanglement. Actually, the idea that particles are connected on the micro scale of our world is not so new. Since Max Planck offered his equations of quantum physics early in the 20th century, many theories have developed and many experiments have been performed that seem to prove precisely that. On the smallest levels of the universe, atoms and subatomic particles do, in fact, act as if they're connected. The problem is that scientists don't know how, or even if, the behavior that's observed on such small levels has any meaning for the larger realities of our daily lives. And if it does, then the findings suggest that the amazing technologies of science fiction that we've seen in the past may soon be the reality of our world today. As recently as 2004, physicists from Germany, China, and Austria published reports that sounded more like fantasy than a scientific experiment. In the journal Nature, the scientists announced the first documented experiments of what they called open-ended teleportation, for example, sending quantum information about a particle to different locations at the same time. Other experiments have demonstrated equally impossible-sounding feats, such as beaming particles from one point to another and bilocating. Well, as different as each experiment sounds from the others, they share a common denominator, And that denominator implies an even greater story. Because for these experiments to work the way they do, there must exist a medium, something for the particles to move through. And herein lies what may be the greatest mystery of modern times, because conventional physics states that this medium does not exist. On July 25, 1997, scientific journals throughout the world published the results of something that traditional physicists say should not have even happened. Reported to over 3,400 journalists, educators, scientists, and engineers in more than 40 countries, the University of Geneva in Switzerland had performed an experiment, and it was done on the stuff that our world is made of, particles of light called photons. The results continue to shake the foundation of conventional wisdom today. Specifically, for their experiment, the scientists had split a single particle of light, a single photon, into two separate particles. And when they did so, they created twin particles with identical properties. Then, using equipment developed precisely for this experiment, they fired both of the particles away from one another in opposite directions. The twins were placed in a specially designed chamber with two fiber optic pathways, just like the ones that transmit phone calls today. Each path extended away from the chamber in opposite directions for a distance of 7 miles. So by the time each twin reached his target, 14 miles separated it from the other. At the end of the pathway, the twins were forced to choose between two random routes that were identical in every respect. What makes this experiment so interesting is that when the twin particles reached the place where they had to follow one route or another, they both made precisely the same choices every single time. They followed precisely the same path every single time without fail. The results were identical every time the experiment was conducted, even though they were separated by these 14 miles. Though conventional wisdom states that the twins are separate, in fact, and have no communication with one another, they act as if they're still connected. Physicists call this mysterious connection quantum entanglement. In Professor Gissen's words, the man who conducted the experiments, what is fascinating is that entangled photons form one and the same object even when the twins are separated geographically. If one of them is modified, the other photon automatically undergoes the same change. End of quote. Historically, there's been absolutely nothing in traditional physics that would account for what Gissen's experiments showed. Yet we see it time and time again. Dr. Raymond Chow of the University of California at Berkeley further describes the results of the Geneva experiments as what he called one of the deep mysteries of quantum mechanics. He said these connections are a fact of nature proven by experiments, but to try to explain them philosophically is what he calls very difficult. Well, the reason these experiments are important to us, the reason I'm sharing them with you here today, is because conventional wisdom would have us believe that there is no way for these particles to communicate with one another, that their choices are independent of one another, not related. Our belief has been that when physical objects in this world are separate, that they really are separate in every sense of the word. But the particles, these photons, they're showing us something very different. Commenting on the possibility of this kind of phenomenon long before the 1997 experiment actually occurred, Einstein called the possibility of such results spooky action at a distance. Well, today, scientists believe these unconventional results are properties that occur only in the quantum realm, and they acknowledge them as what they call today quantum weirdness. Well, the connection between these particles, between the photons, was so complete that it even appeared to be instantaneous. Once it was recognized on the very small scale of the photons, precisely the same phenomenon was found to exist in other places in nature, even in galaxies that are separated by light years. So in other words, when a change would happen in one galaxy, we would see the same change in another galaxy light years away at precisely the same moment in time. Gissen says that in principle, it should make no difference whether the correlation between the particles occurs when they're separated by a few meters or by an entire universe. Why? What connects two particles of light or two galaxies to such a degree that a change in one happens simultaneously in the second? What are we being shown about the way the world works that we may have missed in early experiments from the past? To answer this kind of question, we first have to understand where the divine matrix comes from. And to do that, we have to take a step back, way back, all the way to the time that Western scientists believe is the beginning of everything, or at least the beginning of the universe as we know it, time called the Big Bang.